TheYeshiva.net.
Purim has this depth that Matan Torah doesn't have, because by Matan Torah was Kafalim Harkigigas, right? He put the mountain over their heads. What does that mean, the mountain? That there was such a clarity. When things are so clear, you have no choice. To have choice, there has to be some. You have this perspective, that perspective, and then you make a choice. When things are so clear that this is life and this is death, right? Person's going to go into a jungle, right, and be eaten by the tiger or not go in. Fine, I mean, that's when the mountain is over your head. It's like very obvious that not accepting this spells a death sentence. The Gilui Elokus, the revelation of God, this is how the Alter Rebbe explains it, the revelation of godliness was so palpable, it was so clear, that's what makes it forcible, kafaleim. You know, the kafaleim was, the very experience was one in which they were completely consumed by such powerful clarity and revelation. Nu, why are you calling that force? It's called force in the sense, not force, literally, that I'm forcing you, you know, I put the chain. It's forced in the sense that you can't refuse. Right. It's too good. It's too clear. It's too much love. By Purim, it was By Purim, it was the opposite. It was a state of concealment. So it came completely from within. Purim showed what the DNA of the Jew is, both in the negative and in the positive. Why should the Jews be chosen for extermination? Mordechai didn't bow down, so kill Mordechai. What do you want from everybody else? Why do you have to kill every Jewish kid? There were Jews who were bowing down to you. So them you should love. Mordechai is not bowing down to you. Why? He's the head of the Sanhedrin. He's a very, very religious man, so kill him. It says, Vayivis ba'enov l'shloach yod b'mordechai levada. Ki yigidu lo yas'am Mordechai. Somehow, Haman looked at the Jews bowing down to him, and he said, you're all Mardechais. He saw in them what they didn't see in themselves. And that's what all anti-Semites see in Jews. They see what in Jews, Jews don't know. Like, well, I'm just a regular guy. I'm a bigger atheist than you. I'm more left-wing than you. What do you want? I'm anti-religion much more than you. I'm against Israel more than you. What do you want? What do you see in me that I don't see in myself? The truth is, this is tragic, but it's also incredible. What they see is that you're a Jew. You're a Jew, that's what I see. Higidu lo yas'am Mardechai. The Am Mardechai is who? Every single Jew. In other words, even the Jews bowing down is also lo yichrev lo yishtachav. That's not who you are. So Ben Haman, it comes out negatively, but what does it really bring out? It brings out that every Jew is a b'china of Mardechai. And when the Jews saw that, it touched them to their core. They stopped fooling themselves. You could go to Achashverosh and you could take pictures with them and you could be in the palace with them, but they knew exactly who they were. There, it's not forced anymore. On the contrary, they had every reason in the world. If you're talking about clarity and love and safety, run. Run as far as possible. Deny it as much as possible. Say you're on Haman's team. They didn't. Leich Knois as Kol Yehud. This was something that didn't happen by Matan Torah. And when was it when they were in such a difficult place? It was a place of concealment. Hastir Aster. So where did it come from? It came from their core. That's not Kof anymore. That's not imposed on you. That's not coming from outside, from a revelation, from heaven. It rather represents who you are in your deepest place. So both the Gzeda and the transformation of it represented the Jewish people at their core. So now he continues. Vav. This will explain two things that we see in the Megillah. Al Inyan Aleph. Shabachala Megillah le Nikri b'nei Yisrael b'shem Yaakov, le b'shem Yisrael, le b'shem Yishun, ki b'shem Yehudim. Tanakh, the name for the Jewish people, is usually b'nei Yisrael, or Yisrael, the children of Yisrael. Sometimes we're called Yaakov. Right? Altira Avdi Yaakov, for example. Don't fear my servant Yaakov. Sometimes Jewish people are called Yeshurun. Like we also say in Davening. Hadas Yaakov Bincha B'cherecha, right? Simchasra Shasamachta by Mavascha Shafta Zekarasa Shmoy Yeshurun. It's also a name. In the Megillah, it's the first time that the Jewish people are defined exclusively as Yehudim. And you don't have it before, and you have it in the Megillah, that's the place of Yehudim. That's how we're going. Ish Yehudi, Ayyub, Shushan, Abira. And whenever it's referring to Jews, L'hashmed, L'arig, L'abed, is called Ha-Yehudim. Hargu Ha-Yehudim, Yehudim. On a literal level, the reason is, because Megillah Esther is written in Persia, and it's written post the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The 10 tribes, the majority of them have already been assimilated or expelled by the Assyrian Empire already before, 150 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So most, not all, but most of the 10 tribes have been lost at this point, and certainly they're not part of the Purim reality. It's the majority of two tribes, which is Yehuda and Binyamin. Those were the two tribes living under the southern kingdom, not the northern kingdom. You had Aseres HaShvatim, there was a split. After Shlomo's death, there was a split under Rechavim, between Rechavim and Yeravim, there were two kings, and there was a split. The southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom included 10 tribes. The southern kingdom included two, Yehuda and Binyamin. Purim happens after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So Klal Yisrael is comprised, not exclusively, but primarily from the Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda is, of course, the Sheva that has the king, that produces the last kings of the Jewish people, including Yechaniah, Melech Yehuda, who went into exile with Mardechai. So they're called Yehudim because Shevet Yehuda. Even though Mardechai himself, the Gemara struggles with this. Ish Yehudi haya b'shoshan abirush. My Mardechai ben Yair ben Shimei ben Kish. Ish Yemini. Yemini is usually associated with Binyamin. Ben Yamin. And Mardechai came from Binyamin, just like Esther came from Binyamin. So he's not Yehudi. He's not Yehuda. And the Gemara asks what it means. Does it mean Yehudi is actually from one lineage? He did come from Yehuda, or that Yehudi represents his faith? Yehudi is that he's Maida b'chala Torah kol l'kai from Avedah Zarah. So here the Megillah makes a shift. Instead of calling us Yisrael, you don't even have once the name Yisrael, not once the name Yaakov, not once the name Yeshurun, only the name Yehud. That's one inyan. Inyan Abbe is another thing in the Megillah. Not once is Hashem's name mentioned in the entire Megillah. It's hinted. For example, you have Yavai, HaMelech, V'Haman, HaYoim is Yud, and Hey, and then a Vav, and a Hey. Achashverosh, it says in Medrash, it's brought in Ma'ir, the Ramah brings it in Mechir Yayin, Achashverosh is Acharis, Vireshis, Shaloi. Achashverosh is the end and the beginning is his. The Gemara says, HaMelech is a remez to the Melech, to the king. V'alayla hu nadad ashnas HaMelech is Malkar Shaloi. You have a lot of hints. But explicitly, it's the only Sefer in Tanakh that it's fascinating that Hashem's name does not appear once. Even Shir HaShidim, which doesn't have Hashem's name, and once it has at the end, Rishafer, Rishveyeshal, Heves Yutke. Megillah Esther is the only book in the whole Tanakh, Hashem's name is not mentioned even once. And it's strange. Why is it strange? Because the whole story of the Megillah is a miraculous story. And Esther told Mordechai, go gather the Jews and fast. And what should they do during those 3 days? Apparently they were to daven. And at the end you describe the miracle, Yehudim Ha'isayir V'simcha V'zasim V'koyin. You would think at some point the Jews said thank you to Hashem. There was some expression of gratitude. Not a single mention of Hashem. Not in the decree and not in the salvation. Not in the beginning, not in the middle, not at the end. So he says these two things about the Megillah, that our name changes to Yehudim and that Hashem's name is absent from the Megillah, really captures the zeitgeist of Purim. The names Yaakov Yisrael Yeshurun all underscore the fact that we are one organism, but there's still differences. There's different levels, different states of consciousness, different states, spiritually, intellectually, physically, on every level between the Jewish people. She'ein kol shavim b'ham. Whether it comes to Yaakov, whether it comes to Yisrael, whether it comes to Yeshurun, not everyone is shavah, not everyone is equal. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, you have Roshechem Shifteichem, you have Choytevei Tzecha V'Shoyev Meimecha, the woodchoppers and the water drawers, and you have Roshechem Shifteichem, you have the leaders. Amnam bizman apurim hayukulam beishtavus, mehagadol shebegdoilam adakadun shebektanim, vayishtavus shal hagadol shebegdoilam adakadun shebektanim, yichoyla liyas rak b'inyin ha'hidah, Yehudim. Shere be'inyan has vanava saga ein daitim daim azelaza. K'shem shem partzufeim daim azelaza. Amnam kashe yeshna inyan ha'hida. Va'hida yilamayla inyan shalamayla gamri meseichel matam vedas azay kulam shavim. The chiddush of Purim was, it touched a place where everyone was mamash the same, equal. And you see it already by the decree. But Haman says, like I said, I'm not going to kill only Mordechai. Ki higidu lo yas'am Mordechai. The nation of Mordechai. What's the nation of Mordechai? Again, Mordechai is the guy not bowing down to you, so get rid of him. Get rid of his friends, get rid of his colleagues. Get rid of the Jews who join in Sanhedrin, they're on his stature. No. Every Jewish baby in a crib, I need to get rid of. Why? I'm Mordechai. What's I'm Mordechai? Haman, in his evilness, he was Teufas Sanakuda, that the real lo yichrav lo yishtachave of Mordechai, why is it coming from? Is it coming from Mordechai is an intellectual? Mordechai is a saint. Mordechai is a gon. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's a tzaddik. He's a Ish Kaddish. He's aloof. He's unique. So he's your target. Haman saw that this is an akud of Am Mordechai. It's an akud that exists in every single Jew, just like a Mordechai. It's an akud, a point in which Mordechai is no different than a child. In other words, that's how the Hitlers think. As long as there's one child alive, your path to world peace and dominion is blocked. It's a little baby, you'll educate them the way you want. It's not Negeya. This is a piece of Mordechai. Every child is a shtickle Mordechai. It's a little Mordechai, but it's growing up to be a Mordechai. This Jew says, I have nothing to do with Mordechai. I'll intermarry. I like you much better. I'm with you. That's what the Jew says, but it's not who the Jew is. I don't believe him. So may Oivai Techakmeni, right? David HaMelech says, you become smart from your enemies, meaning sometimes you learn about a person from their enemies. Like, who do you hate? Tell me who hates you and I'll tell you who you are. When you see that every Jew is hated alike by Haman, what does it mean? It means that the Kedusha, Haman is allergic to holiness. His yeshus can't deal with holiness. So when you see that he's allergic to every Jew, what does it show you? It shows you the holiness in every Jew, in every Jewish child. The Rebbe, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe once said on Purim, it was Purim Tavshei Chavav, 1966. So he said, what do you learn from this? He said, you saw it by the Holocaust. There were Jews, they were screaming, I'm an atheist. Many Jews, they were atheists. They didn't believe in anything. They were more German than Germans. Hitler sent them also to the gas chambers. Why? Because for Dr. Mengele, there was no difference. They saw the Jew, the Sinis all saw the Jew. So the Rebbe then said of Moide de Kevart, I'm using my words, but there was a Teichelen. He said, from this we have to learn how to love Jews. If their hatred extends to whom? To the most assimilated, secular, alienated, atheistic Jew. Because they see the Yid in him. So Kol Shekein v'Kal v'Chomer, which Jews do we have to love? So you look at Jew, you say, Psish ken yid, bist a goy. For Hitler's an ish ken goy, is a yid. It teaches you what you're looking at. You say, you don't wear my kapote, you don't wear my shtreimel, you don't wear my hat, you don't. The nekudav lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Sometimes the Jew himself doesn't know it. It's the atzmius, it's the pnimius. It teaches you how to love a Jew, and who to love, and how to connect. And don't say, this person is insignificant. He's insignificant, or he's small, or he's alienated, or I'm not interested. Because for Haman and for Hitler, he was extremely significant. If he's not dead, or she's not dead, I can't have peace. That's Pshat Yigidolis Amardecha. What is this Nekuda? How could in Yisrael they're not the same, on Yaakov they're not the same, on Yeshua not the same? He says, this is Yehudi. Yehudi. The word Yehudi comes from the word Haidah. The word Haidah is something Lamaila Metam Vadas. If you're looking at intellect, in other words, you're looking at identity, you can't compare Mardechai to other people. The Nekuda of Haidah Shalamaila Metam Vadas. What's Tali Bodama Tavadas? Heda means the surrender, the connection, something that transcends my perception and experience of it. It's something Lamailam and Asechel. Because it's Lamailam and Asechel, it's beyond I, so we're equal. If it's the way I experience things, my eye is not your eye. Ain't they a same shavas? No people, no two people think alike. No two people have the same face. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, ain't they a same shavas? Ain't parts of same shavas. We're not supposed to. You don't look like me. You don't think like me. That's the diversity. That's the beauty of it. And you don't get upset at somebody else. You don't get upset at somebody. Why don't you look like me? So why should you get upset that your wife doesn't think like you? She doesn't look like you. She doesn't think like you. You get upset. Why don't you look like me? Because you don't look like, you're not supposed to look like me. So why do I think you're supposed to think like me? You're not supposed to think like me. That diversity is essential to the human chemistry. Every person's imprint of uniqueness is unique. It's, so to speak, your unique DNA. Where then do we become one? We don't become one in identity. The nekuda of one is in transcendence. In Bittl. So he says, Haidah, Yehudi, the Haidah shall Lamaila Ma'aseichel, Lamaila Matam Vidas. Here, there's a Nakuda, because it's not a Nakuda of my brilliance, even my holiness. The Nakuda of Bittl, Lamaila Ma'aseichel. Over there, it's complete equality. Yeah?
So why did the Rebbe learn that we should love each other? Why don't we learn that we should hate them as much as they do to us? So eliminate them once and for all. Why don't we learn to?
Habala harga hashkam laharga. That's not a shaila, of course. That's an obvious lesson.
That's obvious.
I hear habala harga hashkam laharga. That's not a shaila. Somebody comes to kill you. The Rebbe once said a fabreng, and he says doesn't even say habala harga. Yeah, habala harga targoy, kill him. It says hashkam laharga. He said, you won't even have to kill him. He should just see that you're waking up early in the morning to kill him, he'll already be afraid. He says, when you have that attitude, it'll actually make a much more peaceful world. When he sees you waking up early in the morning, you're ready to kill, he'll already know who he's dealing with, instead of an attitude of mediocrity. Avada. There's a chiyuv of self-defense, and there's a chiyuv of, there's a din in Hilchos Shabbos. It's a very, very powerful halacha. The halacha says in Hilchos Shabbos, Simchin Chavtas. And it's written, people think it was written, it's written for the time of Golos, and it's not even fair to Israel. That Nachrim, Goyim, who besiege a Jewish city. So if, let's say there's no Jews there, it's a place, let's say, where there's storages, where there's wealth, where there's money. So l'chayri, not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if they're coming to steal. Because if they're not going to hurt anybody, so you're allowed to, let's say somebody's house is burning down and there's no danger of life, so on Shabbos you're not allowed to do anything. But then the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's a ir hasmucha l'svar, if it's a city that can give them a strategic foothold in a city that's near a border that will allow them maybe to go and attack, even though they're saying we're coming just to steal straw, that's what he says, kash v'tevin. So on Shabbos, you have to be mechal Shabbos and go out with weapons. Shema tehe aretz neichel kavish lefneim. So that the land is not conquerable. In other words, the halacha sees any strategic compromise that can potentially, not now, put one person in danger. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Because this is even if they say, I only want money, I don't want anybody. Certainly if they say, hey, we want people. So halachically, all the laws of Shabbos are canceled. In other words, it's considered mamish pikuach nefesh right now, like a person is dying in front of you. It shows the attitude that if you're putting even one life in possible danger, even though there's no danger now. So then it's considered right now a matzav of pikuach nefesh. And this halacha was written not for Eretz Yisrael, not for the time of the Beis Hamikdash. It was written in Shulchan, it's in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is the laws even of the time of Golus, and the Gemara says it in Edovin. It's even in Nanachutz Laretz. Some people have an idea, I don't know where they got it from, that Jews in the time of Golus are not allowed to defend themselves. But people tell me, I don't know where it came from. It's against, it's mamish, it's a betrayal of halacha. There's not one source for it. Fakert. So I told him, so why does your community have Shomrim? Your community shouldn't have Shomrim. Why should your community have Shomrim? If a Jew is robbed, you say, yeah, go rob more. If somebody is held up, very good, it's Golus, we're supposed to be held up. So in your community in Brooklyn, Jews are allowed to protect themselves. But where there's 7 million Jews and people say they want to kill every single Jew, they're not going to protect themselves. You see, in the name of Torah, people can be so misguided, completely misguided. There's not even a din in Eretz Yisrael. It's a din in every place in the world. It's a din in America. It's a din in Canada. It's a din in South America. It's a din in every place in the world. Nachrim shatzaru al Eretz Yisrael. You have to go out on Shabbos and be mechallel Shabbos, which chilul Shabbos is an iser misa. And the reason is because it's a danger of life. And even if there's no danger in life, but there's a chshash of a chshash of a chshash, they're saying that we don't want anything. We want to steal your straw because our animals need food. And you have, and we're coming to steal. That's it. And if you leave us alone, we're not going to do anything. In other words, it's a beautiful peace. You give me this place, I take the resources, and I don't touch you. But because there's a chshash, that by getting closer, they're getting closer to the border. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. It's Siman Shin Chav Tes. So Mela, it's considered an act of war right now. So that's a lesson that needs to always be ingrained in the Jewish people. How to treat enemies without fear and without capitulation. Without being embarrassed, yeah. The Rebbe used to say that if Israel accepts this halach and Hilchos Shabbos as its baseline, it would be a different world. Because they say, listen, we love you, we want peace, but we cannot make a single compromise that potentially can endanger one life. That's the baseline. That's it. It's impossible. It's like asking me to slaughter my wife and children because you want peace. I just can't. Especially when I'm not building with people who say they want straw. They don't say they want straw. They say they want every Jew dead. They say it. And even those who don't say it, say it in Arabic. The media makes this comfortable distinction between Hamas and the people living in Gaza. Even though every poll, it's around 70-80% of people who say that they support what happened on October 7th. So what's the population that you're... And that's what they say. And even those who don't say, you know, those who say. And Gaza is not the biggest problem even. The Arabs living in Yehuda and Shomron. So they're not saying we want straw. We don't want straw. We're just waiting for the right opportunity. So even if they were saying we just want straw, that's all we want. Go away so we can have straw. We want fields, we want farms, we want whatever it is. Even then it's considered an act of war. So nachzel l'inyanenu. What does haida mean? That's the inyan of Yehudi. What's the inyan of haida? Haida comes from the word lahaidos, surrender. Right? I'm maida, I confess is maida. Or maida is thank you. Or maida sometimes means gratitude, right? Maida, thank you, tada, like Yehuda, oida es Hashem. Haida also means submission. Right, like moedim chachamim l'Reb Meir, I'm moed to you. Right, hayda also means like confession, like vidui, hisvada. It's all the same inyan. The person is in a state of surrendering beyond, surrendering to something outside of them. Like moedim chachamim l'Reb Meir, chachamim say we have a different opinion, but we're moed to you. And even thank you. What does thank you mean? Thank you is a form of surrender. I have gratitude to you. I'm indebted to you. That's why it's the same word like confession. Saying I'm sorry and saying thank you is a very similar emotion. And that's why people who don't do one don't do the other either. You'll see. I don't mean thank you, you know, pass me the tissue box, oh thank you. I mean a real thank you, looking somebody in the eyes and saying, thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for touching me so deeply. Thank you for changing my life. It's very vulnerable. It means I'm in debt. It means I'm in debt of gratitude. It's a very vulnerable thing to say thank you. Real thank you. Not yishkoyach. That's not vulnerable. Shkoyach. That's culture. That's not vulnerable. But a real thank you is a vulnerable thing. I'm sorry is also very vulnerable, that we understand. I'm sorry. Again, a real I'm sorry. You know, not, I'm sorry, okay, I hear you. Okay, if you want, I'm sorry, right? You know those sorries. If you insist, because you're an idiot, right? And you're a shaita, and you decided that I define, I'm sorry. And then you don't know why the person is not so eager to be so close to you. I'm sorry is vulnerable. Both are states of bittul. There's an element of surrender. So sometimes surrender is a terrible thing. When you're surrendering to something that wants to hurt you, you don't surrender. Be firm. When you're talking about truth, haidah is the greatest quality. When you talk about ultimate truth, haidah is the deepest quality, because haidah means it's the only thing that opens me up to infinity. Trying to hold on to it, to control it, doesn't allow me access to infinity. It allows me access to that which I can hold on to, which is always very limited. Haidah opens you up to something which is beyond you. That's Yehudi. Yehudi is the ability in the Jew not to bow down to Haman. Why not? Because Haman is Metzius. Haman is Metzius. And I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to surrender to Haman. The Haidah of Mardechai is to that which is Lamaila Menasechel, to the Ein Soif, to Hashem. That's what he's saying. K'may Menazal, and this the Medrash says, this is in Medrash Rabbah Shmois. It's a very, very difficult and fascinating Medrash. Pesi Yamin L'chol Dover, Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. It says in Mishlei, chapter 14, Shlomo HaMelech says, a fool believes everything. Arum Yavin Davar La'Asherim. A clever person understands things well. In other words, a fool has blind faith. It's snowing outside. Sure, it's snowing outside. It's nighttime. It's nighttime. Because you're a fool. Fools believe. A smart person, why should they believe? Figure it out. If it's true, you'll believe it. If not, if it's true, you'll understand it. You won't believe it. If it's not true, yeah. That's what he's saying. It looks like he's basically denigrating the Pesi. Comes the Medrash and says, who's Pesi Yamal Chaldover? Zem Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Moshe. How could the, first of all, why would the Medrash say this? Calling Moshe Rabbeinu a Pesi? And also, it seems like a very wrong diagnosis for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says, the Rambam writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mifchar Mine Enushi. He was the ultimate, the epitome of a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just a holy man. His Seichel was the highest level of Seichel. The Pasuk says there was no prophet like Moshe in history who knew Hashem face to face. You're telling him with a mind and a soul that was beyond gigantic. We can't even describe Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness on every level. And he was Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, the greatest, if there was ever a Talmud Chacham, if there was ever a Rosh Hashiva in history, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. So he's the Pesi Yamal L'chol Dover. He's the Pesi. And the Medrash even uses that word. What's Pshat? So the Rebbe says, Amayda Dikavart. There's one area where being a fool is the greatest compliment. And in order to be that fool, you have to be the biggest chacham. You have to graduate chachma. When you're talking about the truth of reality, of Ein Sof, infinity, which leis machshava tfisa beklal, no thought can grasp it. So the only way to be a typhus is by suspending your seichel, by transcending your seichel. It's not lamata min adas, it's lamayla min adas. It's not because I'm intellectually lazy. It's because I graduate the need to be able to hold on by understanding, and I could relinquish all control. That's what Pesi Yamal Chaldover is. Here, Emunah is considered the deepest experience of reality. It allows me to embrace ultimate reality, which transcends logic, because logic was created. It's not because I'm afraid of logic. I'm not afraid. You have someone who's afraid of Seichel. That's Lamata Min Adas. That's what you call blind faith. What does blind faith mean? If I open my eyes, I won't have faith. I close my eyes and I believe. Here, you could sell me the Brooklyn Bridge. Why? Because I have blind faith. Emunah in Judaism has nothing to do with blind. It's not blind. People say, I'm not ready to take a leap of faith like you. What is a leap of faith down? I'm not ready to jump over the abyss. I'm not ready to do that. It's basically all representing that you need to take a leap. You have to be a little crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not blind. I'm not crazy. I don't believe my bubba, the bubba misers of my bubba. Bubba misers of my bubba were good for my bubba. They're not good for me. I'm a science major. I saw enough videos on YouTube that I became a science major. So since I'm a science major, I don't have blind faith. But here we're learning, no, the Pshat Real Amunah means that you have to use your Das, and you have to use your Das and use it as much as you can. And then you reach a point that Das simply has no entry there. Why doesn't it have entry? Because logic itself, its properties, define reality a particular way. So any reality doesn't fit into that. You're forced to force it into das. So what does that do? It cuts you off from reality. That's what happens to many scientists. Because they're obsessed with holding on to their parameters, they can't open themselves up to real reality. Because real reality has to be, you have to be ready to get shocked. I have no bias, not even the bias of this most sophisticated ego, which is the greatest bias. I will figure it out. There's no I. Maybe you'll figure out that there's no I. Oh, I can't let that happen. Then what am I going to be? Who's going to win the Nobel Prize if there's no I? There has to be an I somewhere. So how scientific am I? Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest idea was that he was a pesi. He understood once you hit a certain level of reality now, seichel is your enemy. You're trying to figure out something that you can't figure out, meaning you have no access to it. And therefore, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to force something that's l'mayla min ha-seichel in seichel, which means you're going to manipulate it, you're going to exploit it, you're going to compromise it, you're going to dilute it, you will have no access to it. Or you're going to stop thinking straight. You're going to delude yourself. You're going to become a crooked person. You're going to become sick, or you're going to make the idea sick. One of the two you're going to have to play with. The real inyan is this is the koyach of emunah, is the ability to be able to face mystery, and not to move, to be able to embrace it, to look at it, and to be present with it. And to be present with all the inexplicable pain, but also with all inexplicable bliss. That's what Haidah means. That's what real Haidah means. It's L'mayla min ha-seichel. Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what he says. Shehainu shegam Moshe nikra pesim mitzad inyan Haidah l'bchina shel L'mayla l'gamni mitam v'das. When you're talking about something that's completely beyond tam v'das, even Moshe is called pesi. Here the fool is the greatest compliment. If you're talking about things that can be obtained or developed through tam, through reason, through das, through knowledge, so you have those who internalize them, who comprehend them, who really master them. And you have those that they can't, so they just admit, they just embrace. So you can't say that this Haidah is equal. For one person it's Amunah, for another person it's knowledge. One person's faith is another person's knowledge. Because this person in their mind can actually contain it. Only when you're touching something that is essentially beyond Tam Vidas. So Tam Vidas, logic, can't touch it, can't grasp it. Now, even Moshe says, I'm a pesi. And that's why the Megillah, where we called Yehudim, doesn't have a name of Hashem. This is the idea of Hashem is not, the name not present. It says in Zohar, the names of Hashem, and then there's what we call Anoichi. The Lo Yisram is B'Shem Oysa B'Shem Koitz. There's the I that's not hinted to in any letter, and even in a Koitz, even in the thorn on top of a letter. In other words, a name represents already an articulation of something. The name is the way you're known, the way you're understood, the way you're perceived, it's your reputation. Even Hashem's name doesn't mean Hashem's names. The way Hashem, like it says in Medrash, Lefi Masai Ani Nikra, every name captures a certain dimension of revelation. Purim touched a deeper place. Purim touched a place that's nameless, it's beyond names. That's what he says, it's a dargi even beyond names. That's Pshat L'mayla Mitam V'das. It's not graspable through any form, through any fashion. That's why there's no name for it. There's no way of articulating it. It's not expressed and manifested. It's the essence itself that is beyond comprehension and beyond description. And because it's beyond description, I have no name for it. So when you look at the Megillah, what do you see? You see, Lo Yisaydi L'chayafa Banashim. I don't know what hit me. I don't know. In other words, there's no name of Hashem. And that's true from one level. On another level, what really happens in the Megillah is you touch a place that is beyond definition. beyond description. That's why it doesn't have a name. It comes from a place that's deeper than names. So the loy seidilach hayafa banashim becomes adaloyada. On one hand, loy seidilach hayafa banashim means I don't know. I don't have knowledge. I don't have that direction. I don't have that clarity. Because of that, the person needs to go to a place that is the deepest part of themselves. The deepest part of themselves, they have all the clarity. But the clarity is not from a place of das. The clarity is from a place that's completely beyond das. It's a place from of Yehudim. The Yehudi came out on Purim. The Yehudi is connected to a divine reality that is nameless because it's beyond names. There's no definition and description, not in a person and not in Hashem. The only thing you could say is Pesiyam l'chal davar. That's what Mesiras Nefesh means. That the soul is in a place of complete oneness. It's not compromised by any cover-ups. It's connected to something that's completely beyond Tam Vidas, beyond logic. Even though they were in such a lowly, difficult situation, adla had it fisis makam legamri, to the point that they did not occupy any space. Bepchines lahashmid larigul abed. They were in a state of lahashmid larigul abed. The hainu headed amitzias shazo inyav nafshi kafal akaltia. Like we say, my soul should be like offer, like dust. You hear what he's saying? It's a hafladikavart. We look at the Megillah, Haman wanted Lahashmid Ladagul Abed, wanted to kill everybody, destroy everybody. From that, on the one, it's the darkest thing in the world. There's nothing darker. What happened at that moment was, the Lahashmid Ladagul Abed, as Kala Yehudim, gave birth to a new person. Let's understand what it means in Avoida. He calls it Venafshi Kafala Kaltiya. They lost any sense of self. There was no self anymore. Once there was no self, they were reborn as a divine reality. That's Yehudi. And then they understood why Haman hated them so much. And then they understood who they are for the first time. And it came from a place that's deeper than understanding. What does it mean, Lahashmid Ladag Labid? Three words. Lahashmid means to destroy. Ladag means to kill. La'abid means to eliminate, right? You get lost. La'abed. Three words. La'ashmid la'adam. This kolay me narvat zaken tavanosh. Here he teaches it. What does it mean in avoida? This is very intense. There's a situation in life where a person still feels I can make it happen. I have my ego could still make it work. My mind, my heart, my money, my connections, my resources, my manipulation. I can make adrei ahead, adrei ahin, adrei ahin. And then the person never touches truth. Why? Because they still have an ego that's working. Yeah, I'm still in control. Something is in control. The deepest journeys of transformation happen only when the person reaches a place and they know that there's nothing in their self that can solve the problem. That's what happened then. Lahashmid ladagul la'abed literally means someone wanted to kill them. What happened to them? He said, at that moment they were reborn. There was complete surrender. Because there was complete surrender, there was nothing left. What happens by a person by this lahashmid ladagul la'abed? There's no tfisa smokam. I surrender my very existence. So you know what happens then? What happens is you become a channel for real existence. And that's why in the deepest journeys of a person's life, at the moment of Lahashmid Larugula Abed, that's when they find out who they are. They find out everything about what they need to know. Because it's not anymore with control. It's from a place of Venafshi. What do we say in Davening? Venafshi Ka'ofala Kaltiya Psach Libi Besayrasacha. What's the connection? You would say the opposite. To open my heart in Torah, I have to be in a comfortable chair and be in a comfortable place and have an open mind and have an open heart. On the contrary, no. Psach libi b'seirasech is only v'nafshi kofal akaltiyah. As long as my soul is not like Afar, I'm not really open to real Torah. I'm open to my Torah. I'm open to ego Torah. I'm open to my Vertlach. Yeah, I'll make a good Vart, another Vart, another Vart, another speech, another this. Psach libi b'soyda secha is only v'navshi kafala kaltiyah. When the nefesh becomes like Afar, complete earth, you would say this is the worst moment. No, this is when your heart opens up. Suddenly there's no blockage anymore. Suddenly I'm not in control anymore. So who's in control? Hashem. Who are you? You're a channel. You'll never be as creative as those moments. What does creative mean? Creative means you're plugged into Creator. So you're creative. You have the power of creativity. The worst thing that blocks creativity is the sense of, I'm going to control this. I got this worked out. In life, we all try to live with control as long as we can. That's why we get married. Marriage is usually one thing that helps, but people still control. They control that too. And then our children very often help us reach a space where we let go. We have to let go. Why do we let go? Nobody chooses to let go. It's very hard to let go. Because when you let go, you feel like I'm jumping off a cliff. This is my only hold, my ego. What else do I have? But I have no choice. I have nothing left here. There's nothing left. I have no tfisas makam. It's a place where I have to surrender everything. In a way, it's the most painful place to be. On another level, it's the only place of bliss. That's finally when you don't have to control anymore. You know the pleasure when you don't have to control? When there's nothing in you that needs validation so that the ego should survive? You know what type of, that's called Adalo Yada. I don't need Yada anymore, I'm done. The ego became so miserable, it became such a source of contention. I don't need it anymore. I let it go completely. I don't need to live in a place that I need the validation, that I need the compliment, that I need to please you. A complete place of bittul. Now you become the most powerful person in the world because you don't exist. Anybody knows what I'm talking about here? Yeah. Even when you, that's the nisayon, when you come back, you should always stay in that space. At least have a window to that place. That after Purim should still be Adla Yada, even when it's Yada. Because I'm not always going to be in that space. But that's a space that you always want to remember. It's the space of Lahashmid Larigo La'abe, the death of ego. That's what happened. When the death of ego, there's nothing to hold on to. I don't have brilliance, I don't have feelings, I don't have control, I don't have a reputation. What do I have? Nothing. So who's here? Nobody's here. Are you ready to give that up? Nobody will do that willingly. You got to be meshuga. Unless you learn enough chassidus and it really gets to you. Voluntarily to do this doesn't very, very rarely happen. Life breaks us. Life shows me I have no control. Life says this is unbearable. How much longer are you going to carry this lie that it's you, which is really a counterfeit reality? It's the only reason is because it's a Ponzi scheme. I'm investing my resources in an ego that never existed. We decided that the ego exists and now we're busy building it up. Nothing. It's a house of cards. It's counterfeit. It's forged. It's Einoid Mulvadoi. So as long when I could really, really surrender that to Einad Mulvanda, you become the most powerful person in the world. Because you're just Shlucha Shladam Kamaisa. You're a channel. It's not personal anymore. Once it's not personal anymore, your compliment won't make me, your criticism won't destroy me. This person, that person being Yotze, pleasing, even for yourself, you're in a different space. You're a complete channel. And that's the most liberating experience in the world. And it's one of the hardest things for people. And this nekuda doesn't have to do with who you are. This is a nekuda of haida. In this nekuda, there's no superiority complex anymore. You're this, you finished Shas, you finished Yerushalmi, you finished, it's all beautiful things. In this nekuda of haida, there's no chilek. It's surrendering all chilukim. And that's why it's so hard to give up, because what's going to be left of me? You want me to give up everything? You know how hard I work to build my, to build my name, to build my reputation, to build my career, to build what, you want me to give it up? You crazy? But till I don't give it up, I don't really own anything. It's all chalayim shechal mu'achedem alachem. It's all dreams. As long as those dreams are intact, it's very nice. But those dreams will be shattered, and if you're lucky, it'll happen earlier than later. If you're lucky. This is very, very difficult. This is a very difficult moment in life. It's very hard for people. Now, usually with in our generation, you see it a lot with children who are struggling, and the parents are forced to reevaluate their identity completely. Their own identity. Who their God is, who their soul is, who they are, what they represent, what their priorities are. And it's not easy. And then what happens is they see their own Mesiras Nefesh. Then you see your glory in a way that you never sought. And that's the ego you want. You don't want your ego. You want God's ego, so to speak. It's not ego anymore. It's bittul. Then you see your glory. Then you actually have self-love. Because it's real self-love. It's the love of the self that is a channel of divine consciousness. Or as his t-shirt, infinite consciousness, having a finite experience. It's not diluted. You know why? Because your seichel doesn't have to confuse things. Your seichel is a channel. When you have to think, you think. We're not afraid of logic. We love logic. Jews are not afraid of logic. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid of a mind, of philosophy. He's not afraid of philosophy. He wasn't stuck in philosophy. Not afraid of science, not afraid of logic. Logic is a channel. It's a channel, and it's an amazing channel. It's a channel for the truth that can be channeled through intellect. Then you need logic. You're not going to understand the Tosfos without logic. I'm not going to send the Rashba without logic. That's the seichel. That's divinity that comes through seichel. Yeah. Just like this divinity that comes through emotion, and this divinity that comes through maisa. But the nekuda is adaloyada. The nekuda is loy seidilach. So here is how it happens. The loy seidilach is the doubt. It's the disintegration. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know my beauty. Loy seidilach hayafu banasham. What happens at this moment? Lahashmid ladagul abed. There's nothing left. There's no beauty. There's nothing to look at. There's nothing to embrace. There's nothing to hold on to. You know what happens? Adalayada. Loy seidilach becomes adalayada. Adalayada becomes the greatest moment of transformation, deeper than Matan Torah. Why? Because now you see who you really are. And who you really are, you couldn't have prepared for. This wasn't something that your ego could prepare for it. Because your ego would prepare for it, it's just ego. You know, sometimes I say, okay, I'm going to go through transformation now. You ready? Let's go through transformation, okay? It's all ego. It's all coping mechanism. I decided to be adalayada. Right? Like somebody once said, now we're going to have spontaneous dancing. Come on, spontaneous dancing. I was once in somebody's house, and his wife was going on vacation for a few days to Florida. Right before she leaves, it was brilliant. He tells his wife, he says, do me a favor. Don't feel any pressure to enjoy yourself. And don't feel any pressure to relax. You don't have to relax. You know, the hardest thing on vacation is, when do we start relaxing? Why am I so miserable? Weren't we supposed to relax? Yesterday I did a Zoom with teenagers in London. It was like a lot of teenagers. So they were asking questions. So one of them said, Purim is my most miserable day. Am I the only crazy person? How? Everybody is happy, and I'm asking, why am I not happy? It's like, it's Purim. No, when are you relaxing? Like, when are you going to be adalayada? It all begins when we stop asking those questions. You don't force. You know, stop being anxious. Come on, get happy. It's radical acceptance. It's radical acceptance of what is. and radical acceptance of what is never okay. Right now, I'm going to meditate and stop thinking about everything. It's like forcing meditation, forcing silence. That undermines every experience of it. It's the beginning of letting go, and that's what's so hard. Tell me how to do it, and I'll do it. I can't tell you anything. You have to let go. Somebody once came to me, was having an issue with this. He says, tell me how to do it, and I'll do it. Tell me how to fix my family, and I'll fix it. I said, your question is your problem. Tell me how to fix my family. Tell me how to fix my... You're not going to fix anything. That's Lahashmid Lada Golabad. Lahashmid Lada Golabad is an akuda where I don't exist anymore. Haman wanted to kill them. But what Haman didn't realize is, in his insanity, he fulfilled that, but in the opposite way. They experienced Lahashmid Lada Golabad in the most liberating way. There was no Tfisas Makim anymore. They stopped occupying space. Once you stop occupying space, you go into spacelessness. Once you go into spacelessness, you're not finite anymore. V'nafshi kafala kaltiya, now my heart could be open to real Torah. It's a different Torah that comes now. It's a divine Torah. It's transcendence. It's infinity that comes. Moshe is the one who had it more than anybody. That's why Pesi Yamal Chaldav is that Moshe Rabbeinu. Dafka Moshe had it. Moshe had it more than other people because his intelligence was so profound. He knew its limits. And the main thing was, he knew how to let go. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu represents. And in this Nekuda, there's no difference between people. You can't say, oh, you have it more. You know, your ego is smaller than my ego, right? Like the joke. Look who says he's a nobody. You know that old joke, right? Look who says he's a nobody. In Yada, there has to be differences. In Ada, Lo Yada, Be'emes. In Lo Yada, what's the difference? You don't know and I don't know. So what's the difference? The difference maybe is, I know how much I don't know. But that's still all the lo yada that's coming from yada. In the real nekud of lo yada, it's not anymore, I know how much I don't know. That's all the yada controlling the lo yada. I know how much I don't know. I'm so smart, I know what I don't know. That's all nice. Over there are differences. In the nekud of lo yada, where there's no yada over there, it's lo yada. So if it's lo, if it's not... So then there's no difference between you and I. The difference between you and I is only in yeah, not in no. The Chavir is in Taifa's dominion. Yeah. It's letting go of letting go. It's really the hardest thing in the world, but it's also the easiest thing in the world. Because it's the hardest thing in the world because there's so much fear, but it's the easiest thing in the world because it's being natural. It's actually being normal. Lo yada means that you're normal. I know it sounds a little strange, but that's the truth. It means you're normal. You don't fail yourself. You're normal. You'll see children have it naturally. Right? Go to a one-year-old who's playing or walking around your house without a pamper, you know, like other men have before they ate from the tree. And you say, are you not embarrassed with yourself? I mean, it's a shidduch, you know, we have to get you into yeshiva, seminary, I mean... There's community pressure. The one-year-old is going to look at you like, Nebuch, like, my father needs a lot of help. And you know what? He's right. My father needs a lot of help. Yeah. The system got to him. Right. He's so innocent, he won't understand the question. He'll say, could you stop bothering me? I'm playing with Lego. Or just get me the ice cream and get out of my life. I'm busy living. You're busy dying. I'm busy living and you're busy dying. Don't infuse your death into my life. What does death mean? Death means you're detaching yourself from the source of life. How do we detach ourselves from the source of life? By creating a counterfeit life and then investing it with meaning and then controlling it and then building a wall around it and then protecting it. And anyone who dares to come close, we eliminate them. The boy says, do me a favor. I want to be plugged into the source of life. Can you just let me be? He doesn't even understand the question in order to debate it. And that's why when children go around without clothes, nobody gets alarmed. That was Adam and Chava before they ate from the Eitz Hadas. And now we understand, as we'll see, why it's called Eitz Hadas. Eitz Hadas. Das is the greatest thing. We love Das. If it's a channel, and if not, it's the worst thing in the world. It's where knowledge becomes the greatest trap. Eitz Hadas. So the Gemara asks in Chulin, Haman min atayra minayin, how do we know the source of Haman? And what's the source? It says in Bereshis, Hamin ha'etz hazeh asher tzivisicha lebilti achal b'meno achalta. Did you eat from this tree? Hamin is Haman. What's the connection? We found a word in Bereshis. Hamin, yeshikayach, Haman! Maybe Parshas Bereshis, we should start banging. By Hamin, everybody should start banging Haman. Okay, it's another Gemara. Fine. Go ask questions on a Gemara in Chulim. You understand all the other Gemaras? This is everything. Haman is Hamin ha'etz hazeh. So how do you celebrate the defeat of Haman? Adeloyada. You go out of Eitz Hadas. It's not some Adeloyada, you know, we're drunk. People think, what's Purim? You get drunk so nobody knows what hit them. No, Adeloyada is the hardest Avoida. It's much harder than Yom Kippur. Relinquishing complete control is the hardest avodah. The drinking of Purim is at best, if you know what you're doing, it's a little hachana maybe, but Purim is a very deep avodah. I learned for many years by the Bialy Khan. So Purim is fabreng. So I had a friend, he was a big joker, still a big joker, but he was very good sense of humor, and he was a letz, he loved joking. So he was sitting Purim at the fabreng, and he was cracking jokes, you know, like people know. And the Bialy turns to him and says, in Yiddish, she says, "Deine jokes, das ist gut für Tisha B'Av. Purim is a Erens to Tug, head off." He says, "Your jokes are good for Tisha B'Av." He says, "It's a serious day. Stop with your jokes." It was very interesting. It was counterintuitive. Everybody thinks Purim, that's when everybody jokes, you know. Everybody get. But the truth is that we're learning. Purim is an inyan of lahashmid ladagolab, but it's not a part. Adlayada wasn't created from a vacuum. It was created from Mesiras Nefesh. It was created from the Jewish people realizing what it means to be a Yehudi, what the hatred of Haman was about. They learned what it means to be a Jew from Haman because they saw what he hated. What did he hate in them? It wasn't intellect. It was a nekuda of bittel. It was this nekuda of bittel that every Jew has. So they said, if he hates it so much and he's ready to kill us for it, maybe we should find out what it is so that we could live with it. We could live for it. If this is so powerful that he's ready to kill every Jew for it, maybe it's also powerful enough that we could live with it. We give them credit, not in the sense of having priorities in terms of values, but we give them credit in the fact that they are so evil. And they know who their competition is. Evil knows its enemy. That's what we give them credit. Klippah knows Kedusha. Because you could see that after 4,000 years, anti-Semitism is as alive and fresh as it was 3,000 years ago. So something is strange. It's a different world today. There's nothing, you go back 1,000 years back, there's nothing you can recognize. In terms of technology, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of culture. But the anti-Semitism is as primitive. Behead Jews, rape them, and it's good. And it's even sophisticated in Harvard and MIT to talk about it. Harvard, MIT, Yale. You're talking about the bastions of progressiveness. This is what we celebrate about humanity. Harvard University, our academic progress, our medical progress, our technological progress. When it comes to anti-Semitism, the primitiveness of Genghis Khan and Haman HaRasha and Pare. This is nothing changed. So you have to. But what does that show us? It shows us that Jews are as relevant as ever. When you look in the Torah, you say, I'm choosing you to change the world. Okay, it's old news. You stood at Har Sinai, I took you out of Mitzrayim. It's old news. And from anti-Semitism, you see, it's not old news. It's fresh news. The energy of the Jewish people is so vibrant, it's so intense, it's so alive, it's so real, it's so visceral, that even if we don't know it, look at them. They hate us. The same like they hated the Jews of Purim and Hanukkah. Really? What are we? We're just trying to make a couple of dollars and eat sushi, let's face it. What are we really doing as Jews? What are we doing? We have a Kiddush, right? What are you hating even? Like, well, what's their, I mean, we know Jews, but what are you hating? Well, what's there to hate so much? Well, do we like Chinese food? I mean, what? They hate something they can't acquire. But here you see that the Kedusha of Am Yisrael is the same, by Maimon Har Sinai. Avram, Moshe, Hama, Mordechai, Esther, Matisyahu, Yochanan. It's all, it's the same Jews now. Exactly the same Jews. That's what you see from here. It shows you the vibrancy of Knesset Yisrael. Just from the hate that it attracts. Why are we so relevant still?
So the self-hate that some feel, sadly, is a denial of...
Yeah. Jews who go into self-hate. I understand it. The burden of this awareness is very intense if you don't surrender to it. So I would go to every... If I was a Jew, if I was a certain type of Jew, I would go to all length to deny it. And that's why they blame themselves. It has to be Israel's fault, because to say it's not Israel's fault means that we invested our whole life into the idea of progress, the idea of left-wing progress, the idea of humanity. We invested everything, and it was all a lie. That's a very deep confession. It's very hard to say that. German Jews couldn't believe what's going to happen. They were more German than everybody. They were loyal patriots. They knew the German poets and musicians better than the Germans. They served. They were loyal. They were intermarried. Come on. You want to say that my entire life was one big mistake? It's very hard to do that. So I will, it's called cognitive dissonance. I will manipulate reality to fit into me. That's it. That's what they do today also. So if you could say that Israel, you know, they're Nazis and apartheid, and like the Chayla Nefesh, Norman Finkelstein says that October 7th was like the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. The people in Gaza are like the Jews who were in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. You don't empathize with the Germans that were killed in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. And this is how a Jew speaks. So a Jew says this. What's the Chaylas that creates a Jew? So he's a sociopath. Psychopath, probably, but you have other Jews, you know, not on that level. It's if you're not rooted in Torah and in Emes, it's very hard. You create reality, and you have to believe in it. That's I told you once about the Shalshalas by Lloyd, Vayisma Ma, right? By Lloyd, it says Vayisma Ma. He procrastinated. Vayisma Ma. Why did Lloyd procrastinate so much? Lloyd had a whole Welt Anschauung. Zdoim is the future. Avraham Avinu is an alte Yid who has strange faiths. Zdoim is the future. And he did well. How do I know? Because he was hired to be the Supreme Court. He was a Supreme Court justice in Zdoim. That's what it says. And he had two daughters who intermarried with Zdoim. And he had another two daughters who were about to get married. So he was accepted. He was integrated. He was a Jewish success story. He even did plastic surgery on his nose. He got rid of his nose, so he doesn't look like Avraham Avinu. It was a Machaya. He was the man, and he got to the Supreme Court justice. And then in one moment, when he asked them not to hurt the guest, they looked at him and they said, Ha'echad ba'logur v'yishpat shafait. You're a dirty, filthy Jew. You're a ger. You're a foreigner. You're going to tell us what to do. We'll hurt you more than them. And then when he told his sons-in-law, come, leave, vayikim etzachek be'enech hasanav. He became a source of mockery. It was like the cartoons in the Sturmer of Goebbels, his cartoons. You know, the Jew, the hawk with the beak. Vayikim etzachek. He was a laughing stock. So suddenly his whole world fell apart. And the Malachim are saying, leave, this is a place of destruction and Gehenim. Vayismama. He's stuck, he's paralyzed. He's stuck between a philosophy of 50 years that he believed in, but his better mind told him this was all fiction. It's not easy. You get stuck. It's very hard. When the Jews went into the Suda of Achashverosh, this was a new Judaism, it was a new reality. Achashverosh loves us. Kirtzayn ish v'ish. You can even have Rabbi Landau's Achsherim in the palace. What else do you want? You can have the Badatz Edach Redis. You eat spear ribs in Achashverosh's palace. So, Badatze the Chredis they had. They had everything. Kirtzay Nishviish, everything, a Machaya. But it was already, I have a new identity. Achashverosh loves me. Once Achashverosh loves me, so that's it. They gave up who they were. And it's hard. We understand why. Life was painful. So the nekudah of lahashmid larig ul'abed, it reinvented them. Not to be self-hating, but really to be self-loving. And what's the real self? The real self was v'nafshi kafu l'kaltiya. And in that nekudah, they became Yehudim. So which level of Hashem did they connect to? There was no names there. In the Megillas Esther, there's no names. There's no hisgalos. There was no revelation. That's like when the person surrenders everything. I have no name anymore. The moment you give up your name, you find yourself. You understand? The greatest obstacle to myself is my name. Huh? Especially if you have many names, especially if you have a good name. Person invested their whole life in a name, 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 name. Now just let it go. But the name is the worst obstacle because the name limits me. The name forces me to hold up a name which is all counterfeit. It's just something I created because I didn't know who I was. So I created a substitute and then I invested with meaning and then I decorate it and then I get prizes for it and then I have plaques on the wall. And I make a living from it, and people like it, and there's standing ovations, but it's all fake. And then there comes a moment of lahashmid lada galabed. There's nothing there. Are you ready to give up the name, or are you going to hold on to it and die with it? That's the moment you loy seidi lach becomes adalayad. Transformed. That was the greatest moment, and this was deeper than Matan Torah. Well, Mordechai remained anchored. The real one who did it was Esther. Esther is the concealment. Esther went into the, Esther was the epitome. Esther experienced that concealment. She couldn't connect to the names. In Megillas Esther, you don't see Hashem's name. Because they touch the essence that's beyond the name. That's like the idea of Yehudim, Hoidol, Lamaila Metam Vadas, that which a name can't capture. They became nameless inside themselves so they could touch in reality that which is nameless. So it wasn't anymore a particular gilui of hayafe banashim. Names are beautiful. But it was lay seydilach hayafe banashim. They touched that which is beyond the name, beyond. So where's Hashem's name in the Megillah? Nowhere, and therefore it's everywhere. If you want to put it in different words, you could say, in other books, Hashem is present in the Megillah, His name. In Megillas Esther, they realized that they are Hashem. They are manifestations of Hashem. There's no separation anymore. They are the deepest expression of Hashem's name. Their essence is Hashem's essence.
That, you know, if they see in you godliness or godly personalities, that's what they hate. You see there's something godly about it and not mundane, not like everyone else, not like, you know, there's something crazy about the Jew.
That's what they see. They see that there's something insane about a Jew. There's a godliness. And it's inexplicable. It's not mundane. It doesn't fit into everybody else and everything else. And they themselves don't know how to explain it. Even Jews don't know what to do with it. And because it's so hard to accept, because you really have to surrender, therefore Jews will find every other explanation for anti-Semitism. We're too rich. We're too poor. We don't have a state. We do have a state. Remember, every generation, there's another reason why we should be hated. One generation is because we're communists. We're all communists. Oh, we became capitalists. Oh, that's the problem. We're capitalists. Oh, we're religious. We're religious. We're isolated. Okay, let's become secular. Oh, we're secular. That's the problem. We're going to undermine them from within. Okay, let's become religious. No. We believe. No, we don't believe. We don't have a country. We're just paria. We're just parasites. Okay, so let's make a state. We won't be Oh, no, it's the state. Herzl said if he makes a state of Israel, there won't be anti-Semitism anymore. Because the whole reason anti-Semitism is the Jews are living off other countries, right? The French, the German, the Russian. If we have a state, everything will be good. So now the problem is the state. Now the problem is that you have a country. Who said you're not out of a country? You should live in Germany. You should live in America. So every generation, every few years it changes. And the reason is because it has nothing to do with any of this. Nothing to do with this, you're this, you're that, you're that, you're that. It has to do with Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, Yehudim, Haida, Lamaila Matam Vadas. It's the divinity in the Jewish people. It's hard for Jews to appreciate. Because it's hard for Jews to appreciate, so therefore we're always trying to appease, you know, what's next? Okay, we'll go to this piss treaty. We'll go to this treaty. Okay, we'll give this away. We'll give this away. We'll give this away. We'll give this away. Oh, you still hate us? Wow. We must be more evil than anybody ever imagined. That's the conclusion of self-hating Jews. We're worse than the Nazis. So this is how Jews become sick, because it's so intense that if you can't deal with it, you can become a sick person.
Actually, from not admitting who you are,
you become very sick. You're a tormented person. You don't know who you are. You're always busy being somebody else, and you're always busy placating and pleasing. You don't know who you are. You're a torn personality. You're torn into 1,000 pieces. You become a very sick person. There's like a schizophrenia on steroids. But you're also sophisticated. It's a very deep pain. It's a very deep pain. And the only etzah for this is Adelayada. It's the only etzah. Yeah, it's ego, but ego is a very complicated word. You know, the word ego is not one word. Ego is like, ego could be insecurity. You know, ego doesn't always look like ego. Ego looks like insecurity. Ego looks like fear. You know what else? Ego could look like generosity and kindness. Also ego. Ego could look like selflessness. Ego could look like I'm a peace lover. It's all, but it's ego. It's ego. It's based on detachment. It's not based on truth.
It's a substitute.
It's a substitute for truth. It's a separation. I'm separated. But how it comes in a billion different forms. Sometimes it looks like an ego, and sometimes it looks egoless. But it's still ego. Not believing your enemy that says they want to destroy you, not taking them seriously, that's the worst ego in the world. Where the Israeli leaders say, we know better, we have a new Middle East. That's the worst ego in the world. It's you decided a paradigm of what life is supposed to look like, and you will force that paradigm into reality until it blows up in your face. What happened October 7th didn't happen October 7th. It happened 50 years earlier. Just the Israelis denied it. When one family is slaughtered in Itamar, when they slit the throats of a bunch of little kids, one family, Didn't happen October 7th. It happened 50 years earlier. They were just denying it. Denying. Because there's a reality that we created that fits into a secular democracy. Until it blows up in your face, 1,500 Jews are slaughtered. Oh, what are you going to do? Nothing. Oh, there's nothing. There's no war. That's ego. That's a sickness of ego. Yeah, we control, we have it figured out, we know who we are, we made peace with reality, everything is working, it's a new Middle East. You're not in touch. And yeah, we understand why. Jews can be controlled by an inner Yetzer Hara that really wants to make them feel good. And it's hard. It's not about judgment, it's about understanding the depth of reality. It's very hard. So the top Israeli leaders who have sacrificed their life for the Jewish people and for the Jewish homeland have made some of the most catastrophic mistakes, right? Affecting their people in devastating, devastating ways. And all of them, and Dafka right-wingers. Because at some point they were fighting, and at some point they had to surrender. They're like, there's too much pressure. And when you're not rooted in your true self, right? You're not even sure this land belongs to you, because we're not allowed to talk about God, because we're seculars. Hamas doesn't have a problem raping and screaming, Allah, 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 during the rape, right? And Jews are afraid to say that God gave us the land. We're not allowed to say that. So why are we here? Because the UN. But the UN now says you're not allowed to be there. So what? Oh, Balfour. Who's Balfour? A guy in London? They destroyed a statue now. The Palestinians destroyed Balfour's statue in England because he made the declaration that they can go back. But I'm telling you, you're busy with Balfour, you're busy with the UN. They care, you care. You understand? You live in cognitive dissonance. It's very, very hard. It's all an example of the same Nakuda. And the rebirth happens when the person lets go and they're recreated. From nothingness, you recreate yourself into something real. Because you don't have to be. You just have to be a channel. You don't have to be. You get rid of the pressure of being. The worst pressure in the world is that you have to be. Imagine if you don't have to be. You know how nice life is when you don't have to be.
Still don't know.
Adalayada, yeah. To be or not to be, right? Or to be not. To be not. Every trigger can become a yomtiv. I don't know that every trigger can become a putim, but every trigger can become a yomtiv. Every trigger can become something connected to putim. Every trigger can bring us closer to Adalayada. Yeah, he's saying trigger. Every challenge, but he's saying trigger. In other words, those things that trigger us because we're trying to control. Every trigger is a form of control. You understand that, right? You're triggering me because I'm trying to control the situation and you're putting a hole in my balloon. That's why you're triggering. That's what a trigger is. A trigger is some hole was revealed in my world. It could be a small little thing. That's where the light comes in, and that's where you have an opportunity to practice Adalayada in real life. Adalayada means I don't have to know. I could pause and breathe and say, I don't know. It's fine. It's okay not to know. I don't have to respond. I don't have to react. I don't have to be a chacham. I can create space for the confusion. I can create space for the pain. I can create space for the torment. I can create space for everything that I'm going through. I can create space for it. I don't have to know. I don't have to put it in a box. I don't have to control. I don't even have to get rid of it. I can create space for it. And you know what happens? Then I can open myself up to a truth that will already come in. If I'm busy suppressing the trigger, then I never open myself up because I'm busy with the other. I have to figure this one out. The moment I can open myself up and I could stay confused, so now I can actually become a channel for things that I didn't even imagine. I don't have to know how it's going to work out. I didn't create this situation. It's fine. I don't have to know. Just be a channel. Show up. But how can I show up if I'm busy fighting with reality? I'm busy fighting with my thoughts. I'm busy saying, no, it's really like this. It's really, I don't know what it's like.
What if you did create the situation?
You say you take credit for everything, huh?
You just take credit for blaming yourself as well. So. But even with that, you still don't have to know.
Even the situations that we created, I assume that the part of us that created it was pretty, pretty formed and molded by forces outside of ourselves.
So it's not necessarily saying what you think you created might not be.
Yeah. Even what we think, what we take credit for creating, it's not, you know, there's a lot of factors involved. Like, who turned me into the person that created this situation? Was it only me? Like, at age 25, I chose to become this person? We all know the answer to that. So we don't take credit for everything, including not for all the destructive things either. Reb Pinchas of Karetz once said, he was a Talmud of the Bashan, he said, why do we say Ashamnu in the plural? Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. We say Ashamti, Bagadti, Gazalti. Imagine you're confessing to somebody you hurt, yeah? Let's say your spouse, and you say, we sinned, we, come on. Al chechachatonu lefanach. Say ani al chechachatosi. Me. I'm sorry. Don't say if I come to you. I say we are sorry. We me. It's not we. So the Pinchas of Karet said Amele de Kavart. He said Hashemnu. You're talking to Hashem. So you're telling Hashem Hashemnu. Both of us. That's what the Pinchas of Karet said. Yeah. You know that it's not so simple. And then I woke up one day. I became a Gazlan. I became a. You get some credit here. This is my DNA, this is my parents, this is my community, this is where I grew up. My animal soul, my brain, my coping mechanisms, my amygdala, the issues I faced, my survival skills, my coping skills. You know that. With my anger and temper, it came from nowhere. My disassociation came from nowhere. Yeah, I have to take responsibility because now it's my story. But let's face it, Hashem knew, but God knew. That's what he says. It's a pretty intense word. What's his point? Well, not, oh, God is guilty. It's much deeper than that. It means if Hashem is there, that means we're on the way of, we're on the path of healing. That's the word. Hashem knew, okay, blame God. What do you want from me? You're the problem. It means something much deeper. If we were in this together, it means there's a redemptive opportunity. It means yirid tzarich aliyah. It means gam ki elech begeitz al mavis lo yiraki atei madi. If you're with me in the valley of the shadow of death, then it's not dark. It's not evil. Lo yirara. Gam choshech lo yachshech mimeka. Darkness doesn't eclipse. That's the idea. So what looks like a sin, what looks like a dysfunction, what looks like destruction, and it is, and it wreaks havoc. Lahashmid larug l'abed. Maybe is also an invitation and a catalyst for a different type of lahashmid larug l'abed, for disintegration of the ego, for decomposition of the counterfeit self, for the loss of the need to hold on to something that doesn't exist. V'nafshi ka'afal akaltiya, psach liru tzayasecha. Maybe that's what it means. So the destruction is really, the demolition is really renovation. It's the beginning of renovation. Huh? You're cracking a neck to make an omelet, or as he said, you create a crack to let the light come in. Huh? It's not your vart. Yeah. The Blennard. No, he said, what he said, when I was young, I worshipped perfection. Today, I look for everything that has a crack. That's what allows the light to come in. The crack allows the light to come in. It's such a profound idea, because that's the idea of lahashmid larag ul'abed. There's a crack. And when the crack is complete, it's all light. Not as the light comes in, it's all light. As long as there's a crack, the light comes in, it's the beginning. And then when it's cracked completely, v'nafshi kafal akal tiyah, now all there is light. Because really there was nothing but light. The only thing that was blocking the light was that I thought I have to substitute the light. I thought that I have to be God, because I'm like a shtickel Haman. Haman worshipped himself, and I have to worship myself. And even if I have God in my life, it's like there's two, there's me and there's God, you know, we bow down to each other. You bow down to me, I bow down to you. And when the person can really, really give that up completely on an emotional level and relinquish that, then it's all light. And you are that light. It's not like there's light and there's you. You are the light. There's nothing but the light. And that's where all healing comes from. And then I'm not triggered anymore. Because to be triggered, I have to be in a place of separateness. I have to be in a place where I'm trying to be something and you're ruining it. Like you're triggered. Stop triggering me. In that place, I'm not triggered. I don't have to be anything that I have to be triggered. I'm present. I'm fully present. I am the light. You're not triggering me. If you're triggering me, I'm not the light. I'm still fighting. Now, I know we're not always in that space, but we want that as a reference point. And when we're not in that space, we want to be able to have compassion on the voices that are not in that space and not worship those voices, not turn Haman into God. Haman is Haman, and the fight. The Alter Rebbe has a line in Torah Eid, and put it, one of the put in my modem. It says in the Megillah about Haman, right? What's the lashon at the end of the Megillah about the machshavas of Haman? Mamish at the end. You have a chumash hashmois. It's very interesting how he touches it. Ashechishev, what's the whole pasuk? Oh, do you have, it has the Megillah? It's Ashmois? It usually has the Megillah in the back. It says the Machshavis of Haman, Ashechishev al HaYehudim, right? Okay, I don't remember the pasuk now. It's not enough Megillah, so. He said, the lashon over there in the Megillah, the machshavas of Haman, asher chishev, that he thought al hayud. So, that he thought on the Jews. So literally means his plans, his thoughts, what he thought about the Jews. The Alter Rebbe says, Alashan, Machshavas Haman, there's the Machshavas of Haman that go into a Jew. It's the Machshava that the Jew starts thinking, and he thinks it's his Machshavas. It's really Haman's Machshavas. Yeah, that's the Amalek's, so that's the key. You say, I'm not going to be triggered. I am going to be triggered. I'm going to be triggered. If I can know it's the Machshavas of Haman, then I'm good. Of course I'm going to be triggered. I'm not going to be in a space of Ad Loyada 24/7. I mean, I could try to be, but it's probably not going to happen. But if I could say, wow, okay, Haman, you're triggered. I get it. Fine, I get it. Haman, you're triggered. I get it. A few times you have it in the Megillah. So he says it's the machshavas of Haman in the Yehudim. He planted his thoughts in the Jews. That's what he did. How he thinks about life. Haman is the ultimate trigger guy. You don't bow down to him, he needs to kill you. Why? It's like the guy comes home, his wife doesn't bow down to him, he goes crazy. Okay, he doesn't kill her, but he goes crazy. His children don't bow down to him, he goes crazy. Those are Haman triggers. I am so insecure that if you don't bow down to me, I go crazy. You argue with me, I go crazy. I confront you. Either I become a people's pleaser, or I become an aggressive, angry man. Why? But it's the same thing. Same thing. I can't deal with my identity. I don't know who I am. So the forms are different. The forms can take on aggression, or they can be very meek, very weak. But it's essentially at the core that the self is very, very blemished. It's very flawed. Adelayada is a reference point?
No, not to become triggered. Like, I want to get
there's no such a thing not to become triggered. If I'm triggered, I'm triggered. The worst thing is that you're triggered and you say, I wasn't triggered, because then you become passive-aggressive. You understand? Oh, I wasn't triggered. Why are you angry? I'm not angry! I'm never angry. I look angry? If you're triggered, you're triggered. Yeah? You don't want to deny it, because if you deny it, it just comes out in all ways. In ways, we want to acknowledge it, but when I acknowledge it, I don't have to worship it. I can acknowledge that there's something painful here and have compassion for the fact that this is the way it feels. I need to function. Every trigger is here to protect you in its own way. It has learned that this is what you need for protection. But the way it learned that is, not by knowing who you really are and by knowing what your potential is. It's a little animal trying to do whatever it can to protect you. So if you say something to me, yeah, the alarm in my brain goes off and says, danger, 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 danger. Smoke alarm goes on, danger. Something was felt dangerous. Maybe you argued with me. Right? Maybe you asked me why I'm late. I don't know. But it taught me that there's danger here. So my alarm goes off and I'm very triggered. What do I do now? Either I run out of the house, or I attack, or I freeze, or I disassociate, but I'm not the same anymore. Because somehow there's a danger zone. Why is there a danger zone? Because the trigger felt that my survival is at stake and it has to warn me. There's a lion in the room. Be very careful. If there's a lion in the room, you can't be normal. Either you fight the lion, or usually you run out of the house, or you start hollering. And you don't, the guy doesn't even know what happened. His 6-year-old told him something. His 12-year-old said something. His wife said something. Her husband said something. They don't even know what happened. But my brain is accustomed to a certain lifestyle and learned that it has to protect me. So how is it going to protect me? This is what a trigger is. A trigger is, oh my God, this woman is dangerous. This kid is dangerous. You better whip him into shape. You better run to Shul Famayriv. You better get out of this relationship. You better scream. This is dangerous. Whatever it looks like, those are the triggers. The triggers is something in me feels unsafe. So what happens? I don't have to worship it. There's a pain here. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to control it. I could accept the fact that I don't know, and it's difficult, it's painful. But you know what? I can accept it. I could quarantine it. I can let it have its space. And then I could say, is there a danger here? No. My kid just said they want ice cream, whatever. They don't want to do their homework, whatever. They don't want to do their parsha sheet. They don't want to dress up for Purim. I'm not dressing up for Purim, right? Is that like the biggest tragedy that happened since Maimon Har Sinai, that your kid doesn't want to get dressed for Purim? You get dressed for Purim. I'm just giving an example, right? So what happens now? I could look at it. I can sense it. I can identify it. I can have compassion for it. And then I could say, I don't have to make all my choices based on it. There's no danger in this house. I love my wife. I love my children. I want to connect to them. I don't want to disconnect from them. So what can I say that's going to connect me to my child? Yo, you chutzpah, no chutzpah in our house. I pay for everything. You can't put on your stupid mask. I paid on Amazon $190 so that our whole family looks the same, and you're going to ruin our Purim, la'olam vad, and therefore there will not be simcha in this house ever again. And why did I even have you as a... Whatever. But that's what triggers are like. I don't have to do that anymore. I could just connect to this child. It's hard because the trigger says there's a danger, there's a danger, there's a danger, there's a danger, there's a lion, there's a lion, there's a lion. Then you look around, who's the lion? Your wife is not a lion. She's a nice girl. Your kids, I don't think they're lions. They're kids. So who's the lion? The answer is the lion is inside of me. My brain has been conditioned to these situations and I'm living this way and it's trying to protect me. Okay. That's what Haman is. You don't bow down to me. I have to kill you because you are a danger. But Mordechai doesn't believe in that. I don't have to bow down. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to surrender my truth. In Haman's world, if you don't bow down to him, you're dead. It's danger. So I could be like that. Or I could say, well, I'm triggered. But you know what? I don't have to choose Haman. I could choose Mordechai. Make sense or not really? When it happens, nothing will make sense. Try it. It's very nice. It's a very good experience. It's a very good exercise. Try it. Make feel it. Sometimes you have to. If you really do it, you'll start crying from emotion. It's very intense. You feel it. You experience it, and it's painful. And you don't have to argue. Don't argue with it. Mordechai didn't argue with Haman. Haman is Haman. It's hard. He has a big ego. It's hard. It's a survival mechanism. And then you look at it and then you choose. You make a choice. And when you make a choice from the place of your soul, your nefesh elikis. You say, if there were no blockages whatsoever, what do I really want in this house? I want connection or I want disconnection? I want to fight with my kids or I want to be one with my kids? I want to fight with my wife or I want to be one with my wife? What do I really, really want? Really? And you know exactly the answer. And the next thing that's going to come out of my mouth is going to bring me closer to that goal or further from that goal. It's going to make more connection or less connection. Yeah, but it's Shabbos, it's Yom Tov, it's Purim. I got it. I know all the problems. Adela yada. We're not figuring out all the problems. It's a very deep moment. In fact, that's what Avodas Hashem means. Avodas Hashem means that in a moment of trigger, you choose God over Avodah Zarah. What does that mean in simple English? I mean, you choose authenticity, vulnerability, connection, truth, oneness over the need to protect my coping mechanism and remain stuck in what for me has become survival, completely stripped from my own authentic reality, which I don't even know anymore because all I've been busy was figuring out how to survive. And when I'm figuring out how to survive, I don't know who I am. I'm just surviving. I'm not really, I am not nothing. The awareness of this is magical, and you have to be grateful when you get it. I'm not talking now philosophy, I'm talking visceral awareness. Okay, we're going to have a shiur tomorrow morning, Be'ezer Hashem, Friday morning, 7:45. Today we did it later because of the davening. And I hope Be'ezer Hashem, B'li Neder, to finish the Maimah. I say B'li Neder because you know why I say B'li Neder. Because I don't want to be over on a nether. So I hope tomorrow we'll finish the Maimer. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael So the next week and the week after, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Be'ezer Hashem, so there won't be shiurim for those 2 weeks. Amen. Gamata. So next week, I'm saying after Purim, we're not going to have shiurim for the next week and the week after. Till Pesach we'll have. Between then and Pesach, we'll have Bli Neder Be'ezer Hashem.
This class is brought to you by TheYeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.